Hanson takes on the Wu-Tang Clan, George Clooney bookends the Ocean's Trilogy, and the Hendersons get Terry, this week on 30-20-10.
30-20-10, 30-20-10, three decades, every show, sometimes associated videos. 30-20-10, 30-20-10, surprises are awaiting if we're going to the 80s, then the 90s, and 2000s.
Hola, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of 30-20-10 Laser Time's adventure through this week in pop culture history. We are talking about this week in history, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago in three segments. This week, we are talking about June 2nd through the 8th, 1987, 1997, and 2007. Where were you? We'll tell you where we were. I'm Chris Antista.
I'm Gillette Young Gun Dave Rudden.
I'm the untouchable Diana Goodman.
Oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about. Bigfoot, heist, organized crime, I can't wait to get into it. But we also have to introduce our sponsor. Okay, beginning like we do every week, 1987. In the news, I like this, we occasionally have some books brought into the movie, TV, video game.
We know how to
music
read.
Culture.
Who says we don't?
I did not read this. Misery by Stephen King is published this week in 1987.
All
right. And yeah, I wish that coincided with whatever the hell J.J. Abrams is working on. The Stephen King cinematic universe where all the characters might combine.
Oh, God.
I didn't know I wanted to see that, but I really liked Misery. Was one of the first adult movies I felt like I really liked.
So this week in 1987, James Caan felt a little bit of a twinge in his
head. And New Zealand passes nuclear-free zone bill.
Yep.
What does that mean exactly?
That means New Zealand is a nuclear-free zone. That means they don't have nuclear power. Mm. They don't allow nuclear ships there, so American subs can't go there, all kinds of other...
I'm sure they'll heed that warning.
So, when New Zealand asks, is there any nuclear waste here? No? Not present?
No prison. That's Dave's only touchstone for New Zealand. Never seen a Lord of the Rings movie.
Mm-mm. Yep. Well, that just means that, as Last Man on Earth taught us a couple weeks back, that when the apocalypse
wasn't
comes
amazing?
And all the nuclear facilities start melting down, New Zealand, that's where we go.
What do they put the timestamp on? That was amazing. I didn't expect Last Man on Earth to illuminate the apocalypse.
I
but
didn't even think about that.
A 10-year timeline on the end of the world and when nuclear power stations will corrode and corrupt, will contaminate a 100-mile radius around them.
Yep.
10 years. Didn't know that. But moving into the movies this week, Beverly Hills Cop 2 is, you guessed it, number one at the box office. But a lot of interesting movies this week. Here's one I never heard of that Diana threw out here.
Oh, this sounds... It looks so peak 80s.
It is the most dangerous secret weapon in the world. Cyclone, ultimate weapon on two wheels. A genius created it.
Brett was involved in a very important military project.
Everyone's after it.
I'm told you have something I want.
Only Oscar winner Martin Landau in a movie called Cyclone that's not about a tornado, but about a motorcycle.
It's about a super bike.
Man.
And it's got Jeffrey Combs in it.
God damn, look at that's what Mad Max did to the world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, there were so many Mad Max ripoffs.
Yeah.
I was half expecting that to be a Golden Globus movie because I feel like we haven't had one for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Where it was like we had weeks where there were two or three from that same producer, and now like they seem to have fallen off the map for
a
while.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is the Christmas break finally catching up to them in June. They didn't make six movies that week. But this movie, I don't know why, but like I felt like merchandise from this film littered the globe in every yard sale ever. Let's see what this is.
Lost and alone, a courageous dog must fight for survival. And for the lives of four cougar cubs. It's a story of courage and heroism. Of heart-pounding suspense.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa! So there's a wolf being thrown off a cliff. Wait, is there a tagline to this at all?
Adventure Epic. Magic of Walt Disney Pictures' all-new adventure epic. Benji the Hunted.
Benji the Hunted, man. Mm. This was promoted everywhere. I thought Benji was one of the biggest stars in the universe back in the day.
By the way, Benji is dead. That dog has to be dead by
now. But the original Benji movie was 20 years earlier. And if there's somewhere out there is a 6-minute trailer for the original Benji movie. Mm. because I've never seen it and I can't find it. It is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. It's why the world fell in love with the dog. Joe Camp, a guy who has made almost solely his business on Benji over the last 40 years, including, I think the last movie was 2004. But remember we talked about Ernest and alliances Disney made out of desperation with characters they don't own. Here we are with Benji the Hunted. Benji the Hunted. Disney does not own Benji, but produced just this movie, I believe. I did look into it. The last movie was released by Good Times, the people who make those imitation Disney game or the Disney clamshell boxes. Whenever they put in Aladdin, there's a phony Aladdin on the shelves. That's Good Times. But yeah, Benji the Hunted. I think I saw it. Was bored out of my mind. I'm a the bear man. But yet another Joe Camp Benji movie.
This I literally only know because it kept coming up over and over and over with Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah.
It even comes up on The Critic about how Siskel hated Benji the Hunted.
But Ebert loved it.
Ebert thought it was fine because it's for kids and kids will like it.
It's for kids and technically has like, I don't know how this man trains these animals that well, but sometimes like they're the main actors in the movie and they do carry it. It's interesting to watch. The more humans in the Benji stuff, the more I hate it. But is this the clip from them from I think it is?
No, this is the clip from them of the actual Siskel and Ebert show.
No shit!
Getting into it.
Only has about 100 words of dialogue. It's about a dog in the wilderness, beautiful photography, those cute little cougar cubs, which you mentioned, the magnificence of the other animals,
Roger.
The adventures, the little kittens crossing the stream, the very shot you pointed out. This movie is a movie that kids would really enjoy.
No, they'd
really
you know what they should say? Roger, my rebuttal of this film is you're wrapping yourself in the flag of children, and I'm saying go see The Black Stallion instead. There's a film with little dialogue.
I'm not wrapping myself in the flag of children. You're wrapping yourself in the flag of the sophisticated film critic.
No, boredom.
Seen it all.
No, boredom. Boredom with Benji running.
I don't think that any child is going to...
This kind of criticism was always around then. This wasn't just the internet. Two professional, well-paid movie journalists.
I just imagine, like, the next week, the producer's like, look, guys, you gotta hash it out over Benji the Hunter, man. You gotta squash that beef.
They're not talking, man. We gotta bring in Carnosaur. I remember that because it's when the Siskel and Ebert appear in The Critic, they reference Benji the Hunted. As the one, Benji the Hunted.
When they start getting the big fist fight. You like Benji the Hunted. Well, you like Carnosaur. They start punching each other.
Man, this movie... I thought it was way more important than it was the next movie. It's probably the biggest movie of the week, The Untouchables.
Yeah. Yep.
And it looks like a big, giant sellout for everyone involved.
I grew up in a tough neighborhood. Sometimes reputation follows you.
Robert De Niro is Al Capone.
There is violence in Chicago, of course, but not by me and not by anybody I employ. And I'll tell you why, because it's not good business.
Kevin Costner is Elliot Ness.
I have sworn to put this man away with any and all legal means at my disposal, and I will do so.
Sean Connery is Jimmy Malone.
You want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
The Untouchables, which is nuts. I thought this whole... saga was way more pop culturally important. I think because in one of the Bugs Bunny movies, they use Elliot Mess, that's his name, as a framing device for all the Muggsy cartoons. And the movie I have seen 1,000 times, Naked Gun 33 and a Third, opens with a giant Untouchables parody, which itself is an homage to Battleship Potemkin.
Yes.
It just to me it seems like, because this is based on a TV show.
Technically, it's based on a TV show that is based on real people.
Based on real people, but directed by Brian De Palma and starring Robert De Niro as Al Capone. I think the role that like he probably had to turn down. Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Here's $20 million for 15 minutes of screen time. That'll do.
I am not a De Palma fan. Mm-hmm. I can watch this one, and it doesn't drive me completely insane like some of it's, because it's a lot less like, look at me, I've seen a Hitchcock movie, and it's like, bitch, so have I. Shut up. I mean, it's a fun gangster-y movie. It, you know, does not adhere to history. Duh.
How do you make the taking down Al Capone interesting? Since we all know he's brought down by his taxes.
Well, I mean, they start with Lito. It kind of Think like the Beer Baron stuff mm-hmm. from The Simpsons.
I'm right there.
That's totally an untouchable community. You know, of like getting all the barrels and smashing them with axes mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. And he gets this team together and then they all, you know, try to break up the mob and stuff like that. And, you know, it's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun.
The movie made over $100 million at the box office. It's like, I just feel like I've lived in a, like up until 1995, I felt like I lived in a world of Untouchables references, and then it just went away. I don't hear about it anymore.
I don't know what happened. There's still plenty of references. I mean, besides that Sean Connery line, mm-hmm. Sean Connery finally got an Oscar out of this one, by the way.
Enthusiasms.
Yeah, with the, you know, that's the Chicago way.
Yeah. Can we use the Oscar to segue into the next film?
I guess we could. I was going to say the other thing you hear about that still gets referenced is mm-hmm. that I want him dead. I want his family dead.
When
his house burnt to the ground.
Yes. But that's when I looked up a clip of it, I'm like, this is so fucking hammy. Does this still have fans?
It is pretty hammy, though. It's a broad version of this kind of story.
But this movie won Sean Connery his first?
Yeah, I think it's only nomination. Huh. So it was sort of a career award. Like, we like you, Sean.
He didn't get it for Dragonheart?
Sadly, no.
Best voiceover for a cartoon dragon?
Shockingly, no.
Thank you. The segueing from Oscars, because I didn't know this,
mm-hmm.
that Rick Baker won the Oscar for best makeup in a...
Many times he has.
Because there were how many out of two nominees...
Yeah.
The one nominee was called Happy New Year. Was it Peter Falk playing
Peter
like
Falk
three different
movie,
characters?
Yeah.
And then Harry and the Hendersons. Harry and the Hendersons has an Oscar, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Let's hear a clip of that trailer.
For ages, he is hidden in the forest. Eluded hunters, baffled scientists, and remained a mystery. Until the Hendersons bumped into him.
What is it?
It's a major discovery. We have to take it home.
I had to rewatch this because I had to remember, like, how the fuck do you bring Bigfoot home when you have kids in your car? And why?
Can I just point out one thing that I'm looking for clips of the trailer? Mm-hmm. The cleanest one I found labels it Harry and the Hendersons, official trailer number one, M. Emmett Walsh movie.
Who plays John Lithgow's dad.
Thank you for giving Emmett Walsh some credit because I love him.
Despite a 10-year age difference. man, those actors were born old. And the mother from Christmas Story, Dave, you recognize her?
Oh,
there.
Wow.
Harry and the Hendersons, which I wanted to revisit, one, because I can't believe the premise existed. And it's reading interviews and seeing more interviews with Rick Baker, one of our... Is he the last great practical effects makeup magician?
Yeah.
Rick Baker, amazing. Goes far back as Star Wars, Gremlins 2, a bunch of American Werewolf in London. And Wolf in the new Wolfman movie. Did a ton of Wolfman stuff, Rick Baker. Rick Baker is a goddamn genius, and he thinks this is the greatest thing he ever created, according to him.
I mean, the creature itself looks amazing.
Watching it, like, it looks astonishing.
Yeah.
It is, part of that is because the actor playing him, Kevin Peter Hall, mm-hmm. which just tragedy, died of AIDS from literally a blood transfusion after getting married to his wife, in case you were curious, played Harry, also next week, played the Predator.
Oh, wow.
He was known for playing monsters of this type because he's very tall, and I don't know why they cast John Lithgow because he's apparently 6'4".
Oh.
And if you cast anybody like 4 inches shorter, Harry is over 8 feet tall. It would have looked insane. And it does look insane. The prosthetics of the face are astonishing. I think it's the actor's eyes that read through, but the mouth movements, like, you just look up GIF. I think a kid would be thrilled to see a character like Harry in a modern movie.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the movie sucks so hard. It is such a bad film. I remember seeing it. And we talk all the time on our shows about, you know, when did you get pop culture woke or something mm-hmm. like that? And I didn't ask to go see Harry and the Hendersons. I just remember I'm just in this movie theater because somebody took me here. And I get to school the next day, and for the first time ever, I'm able to talk about the thing that everyone's talking about, which was Harry and the Hendersons. Mm-hmm. But I never loved it.
No.
I never loved Harry and the Hendersons. But Harry himself, amazing.
Yeah.
And as I also want to wonder, and I pose this to you guys, can you make a Bigfoot movie now? Are we done with speculation on Bigfoot? I don't know how long you people have been around, you listeners, but we talked about the movie FX, which was a fictional movie, but actually based on the real life of a makeup man who did stage certain things for the American government, John Chambers, played by John Goodman in Argo.
Right.
He apparently did that over and over again. According to Rick Baker, what he now retracted, that Bigfoot film, what is it, the Gil Martin whatever footage?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Patterson. The footage that we're all used to seeing of him just sort of walking from left to right.
According to Rick Baker, he wanted to, I think he finds this movie so personal because he said publicly that's John Chambers in the outfit.
Oh.
That is a modified Lost in Space outfit, and he went and shot it, and it's the dream of a makeup man to literally make up a beast, a cryptozoologist, a dream come true, which I don't know. But Bigfoot, do we still believe? We have drones and Google image and Google satellite searches. We still can't find
Bigfoot?
Well,
we made them extinct, obviously, by this point.
That's not what the end of the movie implies, that there are lots of Bigfoots out there.
But
somewhere on the outskirts of Seattle.
I met up with some friends a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Got some drinks with them right before they were going to a Bigfoot movie festival thing across the street.
Really?
And I went there and like everyone there was in their 50s and 60s. My two friends who were in their mid to late 30s, I'm like, you guys are the youngest, going to be the youngest here by far because nobody else believes in Bigfoot anymore.
I think, and that's,
actually even cares. Cause,
and
like,
that's the bummer of the film. Like, is the Bigfoot myth still around? I remember
Oh God, yes.
I just remember growing up like on network television, like In Search of Bigfoot and like, a bunch of legitimate exposés on whether or not Bigfoot is real.
We got to keep tearing down all these forests. Eventually they'll come out.
We'll force them out into jobs at Amazon.
There's, I believe, not one but multiple series of rednecks who walk around the woods and are sure they're about to find Bigfoot. Or they've seen him before. No, really, we've seen him before. And I know that he really likes donuts. So I'm going to put these donuts out and then we're going to stare at it for a while.
Yeah, I was just looking up because in my mind, I eventually watched Harry and the Hendersons, but I was watching something else. I think it was probably just the Harry and the Hendersons TV show.
That you're mixing, because.
But I also thought
the only cast member to carry over was Kevin Hall until he died at the first season. But there's three seasons of a Harry and the Hendersons TV show.
But it's the same, costume,
it is.
So it still looks pretty good.
They pulled a Swamp Thing on you.
Yeah.
It's the only actor they got back is the guy in the suit.
Yeah, because I just remember, I thought it was a Sinbad situation. Sinbad in Aladdin or whatever. But where I thought, like, there was another show. But no, I guess it was just Harry and the Hendersons. But just looking up a Bigfoot movie or Bigfoot TV show, there's still a ton of stuff, like Finding Bigfoot and all that.
Oh, like on TV now?
Yeah.
I just hope it's just one of those things that's fun to think about. Yeah. Harmless to believe in Bigfoot or to go out there and just entertain yourself with those. There are conspiracy theories that aren't harmful, you radio listeners out there.
I think, no one's getting into heated, angry arguments. Well, I could be wrong. The people are going to get into, like, violent arguments about Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. Like, if he did exist, that's cool. That'd be great.
If you ask me, does Bigfoot exist? I answer, I hope so.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so. I'm willing to hear whatever you have to say on the matter. Yeah. I hope
Bigfoot
exists.
As long as he's not mean to Benji.
It's weird because they're kind of shot in the exact same area, like around the Pacific Northwest. Those films look very similar. But I wish the movie was better. It really tries to bite down hard on the things E.T. earned.
I didn't even think of that comparison.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's what I'm obsessed with and I wish I could make again are movies like E.T., Harry and the Hendersons, and Short Circuit, a giant practical effect that kids can just glom onto and be entertained, just entertain the fuck out of. And I think... The damaging thing here is that the whole family's involved in the revelation, and how do you hide it? They never call the police ever. John Lithgow is a unabashed hunter with the heads of game all over the house. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's got that fucking family score throughout. It wants to bite that E.T. vibe, but it panders too hard on the emotions.
It is a bit weird seeing such like a classically trained actor like John Lithgow in this movie. But then again, in like a decade later, he'd be in Third Rock from the Sun playing an alien.
Mm. Yeah.
So this is him, I think, dipping his foot into camp.
I'm sorry we had to talk so much about that, but if Rick Baker says this is his favorite effect, and while he's still alive, we must celebrate this, and it's important. And it's available on Netflix.
I don't know if you have that clip of the end where he's...
Oh.
John Lithgow at the end of the movie... shooing away Harry. Mm-hmm. It's really emotional. And they parodied it on 30 Rock once.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Get out of here.
Because I think this was one of those ubiquitous films that didn't review well. It made its money back. But like, if you were a kid, this was unavoidable. You saw Harry. I think I saw it in church. Like, if you saw Harry and the Hendersons, if you were alive in 1987.
Yeah.
But moving out of movies and into television, David.
Yeah, not a big week in TV. I mean... 97 and 2007 will be a little bit busier, I think, during the next few months, but because this is the end of
the summer doldrums.
Yeah, but like with 87, people were just like, that reruns. Just reruns.
I mean, that's, we've said it before, but that's the way it was with in a three network world. Foxes barely exist.
Yeah.
They just take the summer off. That's when everybody goes to the Catskills or leaves on vacation for 3 months when that used to exist.
Yeah. One notable thing is that the TV adaptation of Nothing in Common, which was a movie that came out in 1986, the TV adaptation ends its run after only 7 episodes. I have the intro if you want to hear like a little introduction.
I absolutely do.
I'm David Basner, president of this advertising agency. I think advertising is the only place where young people can get a real job in the real world at a real salary. So if you think you like advertising, go for it. If everything goes well, by the time you're 35, you'll be burnt out.
All at once, my dreams.
Smile at the camera.
He delivered a monologue and then mugged straight to camera. I don't even remember us talking about the movie Nothing in Common.
We kind of blew past it because we had not much to say about it, but it's Tom Hanks and Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No.
That's
no, that's a thing.
Yeah,
that
was
happened.
Jackie Gleason's final film role. So he was obviously replaced by Bill Macy, and not the Bill Macy you're thinking of. That would be very weird in 1986.
The Maude Bill Macy.
Yes.
He's funny as hell.
And Tom Hanks' character is replaced by an actor named Todd Waring. And Todd Waring would again replace Tom Hanks in Splash 2.
I don't know when we'll be able to get into that. I recorded Splash 2 and didn't realize until buying an old Mad Magazine collection, I'd never actually seen Splash. I've seen Splash T-O-O, the fucking straight to Disney. It's almost a remake of the original.
Really?
And truly insane. We did a laser time on that a long time ago. Sequels you never knew existed. Like, if the sequel has the word two, T-O-O, in it, The Jerk 2.
Mm-hmm. Look Who's Talking 2.
Well, that one's really good.
Yeah.
That has Damon Wayans in it.
Eat your poo-poo and your pee-pee.
Eat your poo-poo and your pee-pee.
Also this week, Nightline had their first town meeting episode on AIDS and ran till 3:47 a.m.
What does that mean?
I tried to find more about this, the best I could do was find, like, there was a list of, like, the segments that they had, and, like, they had a bunch of experts coming on, and they just, apparently they decided, we're going to solve every question everyone has about AIDS. We're solving AIDS tonight, everybody.
Wow.
Sit down.
But just live on television?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they just ran. I mean, it's a late night news show. Yeah.
They preempted the 1987 equivalent of Kimmel?
This is in the spot that Kimmel is now. It used to be Nightline. And I don't know what used to come on after it, but they just kept going and going and going.
In a different world, Kimmel is ABC's first nightly talk show person. It ended with Ted Koppel and Nightline, a straightforward news show. That's what competed with The Tonight Show.
Yep.
That sounds insane, though.
Yeah, I could not find... I really wanted to find, like, some clips or some more information. All I could find was, like, just a ton of doctors they had coming on to talk about stuff.
Oh, because if it's a town hall, you know there's some, like, Westboro Baptist Church equivalent, like, I think the gay cancer is a blessing! That's the person I want to clip of right now. God damn it. But that is it for TV?
Yep.
Jesus Christ. And since there's nothing in games, I'll just mention it, because there's no date on arcade games, but on a recent episode of Video Game Apocalypse, hosted by Mrs. Diana Goodman, we talked about Double Dragon, which in 1987, if you would have asked me what are the 10 best franchises ever, Double Dragon was up there. It came out in arcades in 87 and is ported to literally everything in the universe. It's been remade a billion times, but didn't become the giant franchise we all thought it was. But even me and my sister liked it.
I love that I'm so butch that my spouse is the Mrs.
Yeah. Mrs. did I say that?
You did.
My mistake. But we can't go out of 1987 without talking about Muzak.
Yeah.
Jesus, With or Without You, still number one by this little band called U2. And out this week, Bad Animals by Heart, which includes Alone, that will top the charts later this year. And Whitney by Whitney Houston. She's a first-person song in first person?
No, that's the album.
The album. It's her second album.
My bad. Including I Want to Dance with Somebody, and Didn't We Almost Have It All? Is that a real song?
Yes.
Okay. Which will both be number one later this year, so we'll go out with another track. So emotional.
Yeah, it's a banger.
So hang tight. We will see you in 1997. You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
I have never stayed at an Airbnb where you knock on the door and it's just old couple living here. And they will be here the whole time. Yeah. And wait a minute. Who else is coming here? Yeah, you got some bikers coming in tomorrow. Like, bikers are staying in your son's room. We're staying in your old daughter's room. And you'll be here the whole time. We get back from dinner. Old Northern California hippies. Are they swingers?
Bikers are like the ultimate swingers.
All of it. Like
my old lady's your old lady.
We built a waterfall. You guys feel free to get in the jacuzzi anytime you want. We bought a jacuzzi just for you.
Flop your wieners out. It's totally
fine. No bathing suit required. Get in. We like a nice human lather going.
Ugh.
And they never said that. I walk in, and I had the swinger thought in the back of my mind. And I just turn and look at the television, and it's just like nothing but nudity on the television.
Oh, my gosh.
And I hustled back to the room.
Faint slapping in the other room.
It wasn't because they both, I can see the TV in the backs of their heads, and they both sort of turn around and smile, hello. And I look and like, nudity, great, out of here. Don't even look. And I told
Would
my girlfriend
like
about
wine?
It. And like, I don't know if you should go out there. I think they want to do it with us. I have to go to the fucking bathroom, which I'm sharing with bikers in like hippy dippy suburbia. And I go back out there and like, yes, that was nudity, but that's just one of those, I've never seen it before, Discovery Channel naked and nude and survival shows.
Okay.
And that's why it's... Otherwise, I just assume the sun's still out. There shouldn't be nudity on television.
Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
Struck a match to the underground. Industry ignited from metaphorical parables to fertilize the earth. Picking niggas cup, trying to burglarize the turf. Scatting off soft-ass beats.
Going in 1997 with Reunited. Guess who's reunited? The Wu-Tang Clan. Wu-Tang Clan forever, even though I believe this is their last album, not owned by a supervillain. I think it is. Was there another Wu-Tang album? Look, it's a blessing and a curse to have 16 members in your group.
Yeah.
It's
no small task to reunite.
Once ODB is dead, what are you going to do?
That's true. Everything I saw about this, I mean, no, it's their second album. The first album was gigantic. And it was so much stuff about, like, this actually, I mean, it sold well, but it got almost no radio play.
Triumph did and got a music video. But compared to how much Return of the 36 Chambers was blasted throughout the entire mid-90s, I don't feel like this resonated as hard. Everybody was anxiously awaiting a new Wu-Tang album.
Yeah.
Very weird.
I don't know. But like almost every article I read had to point out, it's like, their first single is 6 minutes long and has no chorus. Are they intentionally just like, fuck you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You saw what RZA just did with making an album that only a millionaire could purchase and never share. But you know what? 16 members of the Wu-Tang Clan can't do shit against three blonde kids that form Hanson. Because M-Bop is still number one, as we exposed earlier on. That song was around for a while before it started getting radio play. But there are new albums, including Album of the Year by Faith No More, Drag by K.D. Lang, Inside Torn Apart by Napalm Death, they played my parents' wedding, and Timeless by Sarah Brightman and the London Symphony Orchestra.
It's a weird time for music.
Yeah.
97 was weird.
I've always wanted to elaborate on that more. Yeah. Grunge is dying.
Yeah.
But had left in its wake, like, pop is sellout and awful. Yeah. So what do we replace it with? Well, what about Brimful of Asha and Orbital? Like, none of that really took hold the same way other music movements did.
Yeah.
A very, very strange time, 1997, with a little Third Eye Blind in there for good measure.
Yes, exactly. There's sort of like a folky rock in there, and then there's rock, and then...
It's paving a way for the return of pop.
Coming.
Oh, and fucking new metal.
Yeah, techno and new metal and boy bands all converging at this moment.
I think it paved the way for pop to come back and never leave. Like, pop is like never left after this period of the 90s.
Yeah,
I get it. In the news, oh my God, Timothy McVeigh found guilty of the Oklahoma City bombing. I'm hoping you have a big conspiracy theory to bring up, Diana.
Yeah, I just think, wow, remember when, like, the worst thing that ever happened was, like, less than 200 people dying in one time?
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
At least there was a resolution. Someone caught, brought to justice. There is no consolation for what that man did.
No.
But I guess in lighter news.
He was found guilty in 1997. Mm-hmm. Wasn't executed until.
He was executed?
Yeah, yes. Until 2001. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oklahoma. Of course he was.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it could have dragged on much longer. He dropped all his appeals. He wanted to get martyred, which just made me go, well, don't then. Don't execute him. If that's what he wants.
Don't give him what he wants.
Give him exactly the opposite of that.
Yeah, make him walk around in a fucking male romper for the rest of his life, and everybody is legally allowed to beat him up. That's what you do.
Like, literally, every American gets one punch.
Give me an interesting punishment. Also, a strange time for films. Like, I think the incoming wave of, like, the reign of Bruckheimer. Yep. Jerry Bruckheimer.
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. But worth revisiting.
Is it, though?
After serving the last of his sentence, Cameron Poe is taking the first plane home to his wife and daughter.
Today's flight is a special one. We're populating Louisiana's Felton Penitentiary. These guys are the worst of the worst.
I see a lot of celebrities among us. I see 11 primetime live, 3 Regis and Kathy Lee's, and a genuine 2020 interviewee.
What you looking at, punk?
Nothing. I was just my on your cage.
But one wrong flight.
Stewardess, what's the in-flight movie today?
Can ruin your whole day.
Con Air, ladies and gentlemen. 1997's Con Air. Saw this in the theaters and I was like, man, this is stupid. I was right.
Yep.
But it's still ridiculous and enjoyable. Yeah. Who builds a super prison? And then who, your tax dollars, build a super plane just to take prisoners to the super prison?
And put all of the criminal masterminds in the same plane.
In the same place! Yeah. Make them drive.
Like, and they're all out in the open, they can see each other. Like, wouldn't you want to, like, put them in soundproof booths or something?
It's so far-fetched and silly, and it just gets even better from there.
Yeah. It still amazes me that this is not directed by Michael Bay.
Yeah.
But it is not. Mm-hmm. It is Simon West. It is so, so stupid. Yeah.
But I remember at the time I was in love with Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
And like Dave Chappelle didn't have like a solid vehicle of any time, but a shitload of screen time in the early in Con Air as Pinball.
Is he the one that gets thrown out?
He gets tossed out of a plane
with the message on him.
Yeah,
or something?
Yeah. But he improvs a lot of his dialogue. So for an early Dave Chappelle fan, it was a delight.
I watched this movie a lot because in I guess it would be 98 or 99. Mm-hmm. My family finally got the movie channel, the one premium movie channel we had, and they played this like every day during the summer.
Wow.
Oh,
and I thought between, so like 1996, we had Nick Cage in The Rock, and then next year, or I think even maybe later this year, there's Face Off. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to be the biggest action star in the world.
Well, he kind of was.
Yeah, for about like, 3 or 4 years, but I thought like forever. But now he's like in the campiest shit ever.
Well, this
this isn't campy.
Dude, I mean,
this is peak Camp Cage.
Dude, he's got Log Harry's doing an Elvis impression.
Yeah, but I meant like now he's in like low budget camp. This is high budget camp.
He bragged about going to Alabama to perfect his accent.
Oh my god!
And this is I can reveal an inside joke if you ever watch our streams. There is a scene. Nicolas Cage goes to jail for protecting his wife, accidentally killing a man because he's a trained killer from the military. And I think he's being paroled at this point.
Right.
And just
because he just wants to get back to his wife.
Want to get back to his
wife
and
his
kids.
Baby.
So he's like the one good criminal on the plane?
Exactly.
He is, but he died protecting his lady.
Why would you put him on the plane then?
And then at some
point... Give him a Greyhound ticket.
At some point, somebody hits a lady, and Nick Cage takes umbrage with that.
We don't... Treat women like
that. So every time we're watching something or playing something and a woman gets hit, my friends and I have always said, you don't hit women like that. And nobody gets it ever, and now you do. And it's not even funny, but it's the absurdity of his accent. Mm. That shot of him walking off the plane in the trailer is so fucking ridiculous. And we all love Nick Cage at this
point.
Doing
that kind of like rock smelling.
Yeah. I love letting the wind flow through my weave.
I mean, look, this does have... It has a great cast.
Totally. John Malkovich.
Great character actors.
Ving Rhames, Steve Buscemi, Danny Trejo.
Hell yeah.
Let me see if I can look up some more. That's just off the top of my head. Cole Meany.
Cole Meany. I love Cole Meany.
What is that? Bubba Gump? He's in the movie. Dave Chappelle. Danny Trejo. MC Gainey.
Yay. John Cusack.
Yeah, John Cusack. Sorry, he's like the star of the fucking film. He's just never on the
forgets.
Plane.
No one forgets. No one remembers.
Is he not on the plane? He's
he's boring.
He meets up with them when they crash land on the Vegas Strip.
On the Vegas
which is,
Strip.
He hit all the checklists on the Bruckheimer thing.
McCarran isn't like a mile away. No, we couldn't make it there. No, we got to endanger hundreds of thousands of people.
But yeah, you can't undersell how Nicolas Cage, this ended up defining him. Like the guy who did indie movies with his fucking Coppola relatives ends up becoming the action star of the mid-90s.
Yep.
Gone in 60 Seconds, fucking National Treasure, Face Off, The Rock. It's insane. It's insane that the public bought this. but, you know, if we want to transition into the other big movie of the week, and by big, I mean gorilla-sized, Buddy.
She lived her life by her own rules.
Miss, what are these little...
Apes, just over from Africa.
She raised her family.
Chimps at a movie theater.
In her own way.
It's enough to drive a person to the nut house.
But when she opened her home to an orphan in need...
Where is his mother? No gorilla has ever survived captivity without its mother.
What are you doing?
Taking him home.
Her world would never be the same.
Huh?
What the...
It's a movie called Buddy where it's a real person, right?
Yeah,
Renee Russo is playing this real woman.
I expect a movie that filled with animals to be way more lowbrow.
Well, that's
for kids. That's Renee Russo being like very fancy, and I'm like, what?
But it's
totally
it's
off.
It's for kids.
It is for kids, and it's
for
me.
The kids
I would
love
just,
Renee Russo.
Well, the kids, it's most of the effect work is the Jim Henson's Creature Workshop. And that really does show with all the animal stuff in the film. You see a movie they're not involved in, you're like, these animals look like shit. Or let's see Babe CG the shit out of them. Because we didn't get the Jim Henson Creature Shop behind us. But they did for this because eventually she raises this, what was a chimp, into a gorilla.
Or no, it's a gorilla.
Yeah, well, it's a chimp in the shot of him as a baby. But I don't know why I don't claim to know so much about gorillas. But yeah, it's based on Animals Are My Hobby by Trudy Lintz, an eccentric woman, a spinster, I believe they called him.
I think if you're named Trudy, it just automatically happens.
But yeah, it like ended up turning her mansion into a sanctuary for animals. And what's not to like about that?
That's nice. I like to see Renee Russo opening a movie.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. I feel like Renee Russo is like the last actress who looked like an adult. I don't know what it is now, if it's just a style or whatever, but you look at like even like women in their 30s and 40s in movies, and it's like, you change their hair and their makeup, and they're a teenager.
Yeah, like, but she's always had that healthy grandma look to her.
Yeah, she's, you know, sexy 40-something
lady. Oh, really
lady.
Sexy.
Yeah, I love Renee Russo.
Yeah, dude, what's the... Thomas Crown Affair.
Oh, yeah.
Terribly sexy. And a nude scene. Meow. But I haven't seen Buddy in forever, but it's... Again, I really do, only now, falling in love with practical effects, but Harry and the Hendersons and Buddy, we got to... What a week. Oh,
yeah.
What a week
we've
had for prosthetic animals. But moving out of the movies, we can get into 1997 and TV.
So, again, you know, we're out of the TV season. We're going to have a couple stragglers that are finishing up or being dumped into the summer. You know, talk shows kind of rise a little bit
because
in variety. Because
there are a bunch of famous people promoting
summer
movies.
Yeah. I don't know what Farrah Fawcett was doing there. I don't know if she had a summer movie, but one of Letterman's more notable interviews where she seemed to be drunk or high or something. But
she's baked.
I remember watching this and I couldn't tell what's people's problem with Farrah Fawcett. But we have a clip of it, right?
Yeah, I grabbed a clip. I mean, the whole thing is like 20 minutes, so I'm not. Yeah, I just tried to find an emblematic moment.
Okay.
Promise, she's changing topics constantly. She's giggling a lot. She like can't remember basic words as she tries to tell like a really disjointed story. And there's a point where it's like she starts out weird and Dave is sort of like, oh, okay. Then she gets then she's like a little calmer for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts reacting to the audience is laughing at everything she says because she's so fucking out of it. And then of course Dave starts fucking with her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. By the end of this, Dave's just like, okay.
Done.
Overdone. Yeah. You know, in Central Park, of course you did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Have you been here long? So you can go. And there's a oh golly, I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Central Park.
Oh, there's a road.
A road. All right. Road in the park.
A cut through.
Yeah.
And there are places where the wall.
Right.
The wall.
What is that? The thing.
The thing.
Anyway, we're...
Charade. Suddenly, Farrah and I are playing charade.
Sounds like two words.
Sounds like
Central Park.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe because I was getting high so much at this,
yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, it just gets like worse from there. Like, he's trying to coax her along.
Yeah,
he's actually trying to be really nice the whole time, mm-hmm. but there is a point where it's like he's just like, I've given up.
Yeah.
I've given up. I have to be laughing at you now.
It just seems weird in this. I don't remember the last talk show interview to like make waves. Maybe it's because everything's so controlled and publicists
It's more about which talk show host owned
did a viral thing.
Yeah.
Played a character he played 20 years ago with Jimmy Fallon, and then then shot ping pong balls out of their assholes. I don't know what the guy does on
the
show.
Well, it's tough to not have Letterman around because Letterman could get combative and make things, you know, spark a lot more.
He was strangely allowed to be grumpy.
He's not, you know, Fallon, who will just ruffle Trump's hair and, you know, just giggle and be cute. And that's fine. That's like his gig and whatever. I guess, I mean, Colbert's the closest that we have to someone who will get, like, combative.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, it's like, well, no, I'm just laughing at you now instead of with you.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not super grumpy like Dave could get.
It feels like it happened a lot, but it was always... I loved it when it would make the news. David Letterman would kind of blow up at somebody and like, hey, Bill O'Reilly, I think you're full of crap. whoa, yeah! The whole world is cheering. And before YouTube, you had to like, hope E! Shows this on whatever the fucking countdown show is. But yeah, Farrah Fawcett. I was trying to look up what movie she was promoting. It might have been Robert Duvall's The Apostle, which was out that summer.
Which she's really good in.
Yeah.
Which is so weird.
And she passed away.
Yeah.
Like, what? 12 hours after Michael Jackson got completely overshadowed.
Yeah.
But there was no tell-all. What the fuck happened here? What the fuck happened
That's
here?
That's what happened. That happened.
But that happened also in TV.
The show Port Charles debuts the soap opera, spinoff of General Hospital.
They're finally leaving that hospital.
Yes. It aired for 6 seasons. And 1,633 episodes, but that's paltry compared to General Hospital, which has been airing for Jesus Christ, 50 plus years, and
I think it started on radio,
tens of thousands of episodes.
It started on radio, and I hate to bring up recent stuff, but it's almost all the soaps are gone, not this one, and something General Hospital just did to survive really pissed a lot of people off because it took sponsored promotion from a pharmaceutical company. The character on the show succumbed to a disease.
Oh no.
As paid for by the I forget what the medication is, but it's the only cure for this disease, and it's featured prominently.
Too stubborn.
We've become pretty complacent when it comes to product placement on that level, but like for a pharmaceutical company in a hospital show, fucking weird.
Yeah.
But it's
that is weird.
It's hanging in there. General Hospital, go, go, go.
Less longevity for Life and Stuff, which debuted on June 6th on CBS. Mm-hmm. It was a vehicle, and you're going to find a couple times, a vehicle for a comedian that I'd never heard of, and they're just burned out during the summer. So this was for comedian Rick Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Only aired 3 of 6 episodes, was canceled before the end of the month, but it did co-star Pam Dauber, a.k.a. Mindy.
One of my first crushes.
Yeah, and in 1997, you know, she still looked good, and I strictly remember her from Mork and Mindy, where I'm like, what happened to her after the mid-80s? Oh, she was still doing stuff, so that's good to hear.
She had My Sister Sam, until the co-star got murdered.
Oh.
And, what? Yeah, I think we've talked about that.
Never
it's like
heard
one
that.
Of the big stalking cases. It happened, I want to say like 84, 85, or no, maybe it's still coming up. I forget when it is. Her co-star, Rebecca Schaefer, who played her younger sister, got murdered by a stalker.
Wow.
So, that changed to.
So was the show canceled?
Some of the anti-stalking laws of like, oh, yeah, no, see, there's some fans out there that are more than fans who need to go away and have the cops help with that.
Yeah, I'm trying to find more information on Rick Reynolds, but I guess this was still that era if you had a good talk show spot.
Yeah.
Like, you could end up signing a deal with somebody and. It wasn't too uncommon to get in a holding deal and have something that made the air. Rick Reynolds, go you, brother.
Yep.
A couple finales to talk about. June 8th, 1997, the finale of Second Noah, which was a dramedy on ABC about a family where the wife was a veterinarian at Busch Gardens and the husband was a writer who had notoriety for writing a novel based on living with all these animals. Again, this week in history is just intrinsically tied with animals for some reason. So it ran for 2 seasons and 21 episodes. And it's worth noting that the show was on ABC in 1997, especially. ABC was starting to really incorporate Disney stuff. Mm-hmm. So they had to change the setting from Busch Gardens to Disney's
Kingdom?
Animal Kingdom.
Are you kidding?
And the only reason I remember this show is because one of the stars was Joey Lauren Adams.
Yeah.
And in 1997, Mallrats and Biodome.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I was just like so in love with her that I was like, okay, I'll watch this show that I don't really care about because you're on it.
Yeah. Was there a reference to that in the Kevin Smith movie? I feel like that's one of the only reasons I remember the name. Because it might have been
second
referenced.
Second Noah?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Kevin Smith would make that much of an in-joke. Yeah. Seems to really like those.
Dave.
The first season finale of Buffy the Vampire Slayer aired this week. It's entitled Prophecy Girl. And because the Buffy the Vampire Slayer was a mid-season pickup for the WB, they didn't know that they were going to get a second season, though, honestly, if you're on the WB, like, how bad you have to be to not make a second season?
I think we talked about the debut of the show, but, like, who didn't think this is a stupid name for a show and it deserves to fail, and the movie failed and this should fail, too?
Yeah.
I didn't know at the time it would go on to become one of my favorite shows ever.
It was, this was somewhat written as a finale.
Yeah.
It was about, like, Buffy having second thoughts about being a vampire slayer because she's facing off against the Master.
The Master.
And, yeah, like, she saves Sunnyvale and the world in this episode, and it could have been the finale, but it fortunately went on a little bit further. I did include a clip of the promo.
The new season of Buffy is just 7 days away, but first...
Read me the sign!
See how last season ended.
She's dead.
Before the new season begins, Buffy next.
Oh, yeah, it was called the Prophecy Girl because she kept seeing visions of herself dying. And that's why she wanted to quit. And it was a cool little clip of there's like the speech that she makes to what is it, Giles? I think about like I don't want to do this anymore. Please fire me, or I don't want to quit. I don't want to do this. I don't want to die.
It only reminds me. It sucks trying to recommend Buffy to somebody because the first season is cheap and ugly. Some of the seeds are what makes it brilliant and great are there.
Yeah.
But the second season is when that really starts. You got to get past those 13 episodes into the 20 episode next six seasons. And by the third season, you're like, this is one of the greatest shows ever made. It's really goddamn good. Watch Buffy, people. I'm sure it's available streaming somewhere.
Last and definitely not least, there's going to be a couple, over this week and next week, a couple instances of instances where a show has completed its season, but there is still an episode that they have to burn.
Yeah.
And in this case, News Radio had the episode Injury. So the third season I just concluded, this was a holdover from season two that NBC didn't want to air during like the regular season because a certain word was uttered too much during the episode. If you play the clip, you can actually hear it.
Oh, I'm making a prediction in my head.
When I was driving to work this morning, I was listening to another radio station, as we broadcasters sometimes do. What I heard shocked and saddened me. I heard a broadcaster who will go unnamed use the word penis on the air. At 9 in the morning, not just once, but twice, he said that word twice. Now, as a broadcaster, freedom of speech is my bread and butter, but I'm also a big fan of a little thing called decency, the meat in the broadcasting sandwich. I am personally outraged by the shock tactics our competitors are using in pursuit of the almighty ratings. Freedom of speech is one thing. The word penis is another. I'm Bill McNeil with The McNeil Perspective. Catherine?
Oh, that is beautiful. Wow. Thank you so much for grabbing that. I don't remember that at all.
It turns out later that that news report he was listening to was like a medical report, so they had to say the word penis. But he did a second report to talk about, I apologize.
If you're a new listener to this program, you must know that Phil Hartman is one of my favorite human beings of all time. We do another show called Talking Simpsons, where you chronologically go through every episode of The Simpsons, and my goal is to grab a clip of every Phil Hartman character performance because it's way more than just Troy McClure and Lionel Hutz. And I love that there's a lot of news radio episodes that I haven't seen that there's still for me to see Phil Hartman in. God damn it.
Yeah. I envy you.
I love the show at the time, but they just moved it around so much, yeah. And like you just described, like would just remove episodes from airing and air, I don't know, to air a special or sports or something else. News Radio got screwed.
Yeah. And that's it for TV this week.
1997, we got some games here.
One game of note, NBA Hangtime came out on PlayStation 1. So this is like kind of a split timeline for the NBA Jam series, which,
yeah
great theme song. NBA Jam came out in 1993. Hangtime, I think, was the same developer, but then the publisher, I think... They did NBA Showtime, but yeah, a lot of arcade basketball games kind of just coming out in different forms at this point. I think there was also a 3D NBA Jam, but this is... NBA Hangtime is the most like the original NBA Jam games, like 2D sprites, big heads, and lots of hidden characters, one of which
is our buddy.
A friend of ours, Dan Amrick.
With funny ears.
If you put that name in there somewhere, or I forget how you do it. You can look it up on the internet.
Yeah, but our buddy Dan, who just made that amazing album, Princess Leia's Stolen Death Star Plans, that was an internet sensation a few weeks ago, but the Sgt. Pepper's Meets Star Wars. That's our buddy Dan, and he's a hidden character in this game because... I believe his story was he was interviewing Mark Turmel. Is that the creator of NBA Jam? And they just got along splendidly. And he Dan was a huge fan of the game. And he ended up, you want to be a hidden character in the game? Yeah. And so he is.
Yeah, so this is coming out at the same time as NBA Jam Extreme.
Oh, God.
But that was in 3D. I was more of a traditionalist, so I was an NBA Hangtime kind of guy.
I don't remember Extreme at all. There's a 3D NBA Jam out there.
Yeah, it wasn't so good.
And if, well, Dave and I just streamed on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/lasertime, an NBA Jam spiritual successor.
Yeah.
NBA Playgrounds. Yes. Real fun.
Yeah, real fun.
Real fun. You can find that there. And we're going to go take you to 1997. Like, how did this happen? How Do I Live by Trisha Yearwood?
Yeah.
This is a huge hit out of Con Air.
This is its debut in Con Air?
Holy song has it was so big that there's two different versions. Yeah. There's Trisha Yearwood and there's Leanne Rimes. And
that's why I'm confused.
And they both got airplay.
I
watched, like I said before, I watched Con Air so much that I don't know if it was like... the Nightingale Syndrome or what, but like by the end, after a few times, I was like, that ending is really emotional, where he finally sees his wife after crashing the plane through Las Vegas, and then this song starts playing
Very
and
moving.
I get choked up. I'm sorry.
Dave's a weirdo.
Yeah.
Surely you'll redeem yourself in the 2007 segment with something more masculine. We will take out for a second with this Trisha Yearwood song, Get Back, to 2007, and some Diana's got some classic corner stuff for you, so stay tuned.
Mrs. Internet and all the ships at sea, it's time for Diana's Classic Corner. We look even further back in time this week to see if there's anything worth a watching. And for the week of June 2nd through June 8th, you know, I'm kind of surprised. 75 years ago this week, 1942, we've got The Avengers. Not that Avengers. No, not that Avengers. It's a British movie about Norwegian spies with Deborah Carr in it. There have been a lot of things called The Avengers. I found like two other movies that I never even heard of called The Avengers. I haven't seen this one. It's, you know, pro-British war propaganda, so whatever. Moving ahead, though, 1967, all kinds of stuff was going on. This is a great year. I mean, not a great year in that there were a lot of race riots, but in San Francisco, where we are right now, it was the beginning of the Summer of Love, baby. I couldn't believe this, all right? You know, whenever you think about the Summer of Love and, like, hippies, and you see it in a movie, they always play San Francisco, Wear Some Flowers in Your Hair, and it's like, that's such a stupid cliche. It turns out that song came out like 2 weeks ago in 1967, so it was a current radio hit when all these hippies converge on San Francisco. About 100,000 of them take over the city, and do hippie stuff, and that's like pretty cool and groovy and like expressing yourself, and also like where Manson recruited his first members. So there's a good side and a bad side, and there's some really good PBS documentaries on YouTube about it if you are interested. On the other side of the world, it's the Six-Day War over in Israel, where, like usual, all of the Arab countries all attack Israel at the same time, and Israel beats everybody back, and then they take the Gaza Strip and the West Bank and the Golan Heights and the entire Sinai, and this sets the borders that they're still fighting over for these days, like up to right now. So I don't have a movie to recommend about that. What I will recommend, though, is because last week we lost our first Bond. Roger Moore was a wonderful person, so I have to recommend something with Roger Moore. Obviously, Live and Let Die, I think, is his best James Bond movie. It's one of my top five movies ever. It's what we'd call problematic now, in that every black person in the world seems to be in on the evil plan, but amazing stunts. Roger Moore is on point. I love it. And also, I just found out that The Shout Factory is streaming, like, most of the TV show The Saint. The stupid Val Kilmer movie is based on, but it was contemporary. It was still going in 1967. It's kind of how Roger Moore got the James Bond gig, where he's sort of like a spy, thief, gentleman type guy. Tons of it online, and it's so much fun because he's just so suave and cool. And yeah, well, R.I.P. Roger Moore. That's it for this week. Stay classic.
Careening into 2007.
Vroom.
Vroom with Rihanna, Shut Up and Drive. Off of what album? Good Girl Gone Bad? Is that the album or the song?
No, it's the album.
The album, which also includes a little song about an instrument to avoid getting wet.
Yep.
Umbrella. Which will be out, which will be number one next week. That means Rihanna, I did... 10 years. 10 years, yeah, of Rihanna, at the top of her game. Good for her. Can't say the same for this band. Makes Me Wonder by Maroon 5. A band I can barely stomach. but there's new albums, Between Raising Hell and Amazing Grace by Big and Rich. Eat Me, Drink Me by Marilyn Manson. Memories Almost Full by Paul McCartney. His first release on the Starbucks label?
It's the first release of the Starbucks label.
I can't believe it's only been 10 years of there being CDs in random Starbuckses. Or has that been longer? I guess Starbucks label is different than CDs just showing up at Starbucks.
Hey, by this, you want the CD?
Yeah, like, no. It's a scone.
But it turns out Starbucks moves CDs like Oprah moves books. Yeah. So why not throw them in there?
Yeah. Yep.
Epiphany by T-Pain, which includes Buy You a Drink and Bartender and Sigh. Carry On by Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Is this the really embarrassing pop album?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think there's a really cringy him trying to... Take that. I love his James Bond theme.
Oh, God.
It's
yes.
really great. But like, to take him as a solo artist into the poppy era, and I just remember it being pretty embarrassing. Kind of a belly flop for old Cornell. But it doesn't matter. He's an inimitable voice in music, and he will be missed. Mm. And he put out more great songs than most people will ever dream to. God damn it, Chris Cornell. Thanks for officially like ending the 90s, sort of, for me. I cannot. It feels like I'm way older than I should be with his death. When someone pointed out that all the lead singers from the entire movement that got me to the music are all dead except for Eddie Vedder.
One.
It's so insane.
Yep, take your vitamins, Eddie Vedder.
He looks healthy. My girlfriend had the opportunity to see them both perform live together. The thing Neil Young does for his son's problem is.
The music school thing. Yeah.
The benefit for the music school. Welcome to 2007, everyone.
Yeah.
This is Chris Cornell would be alive for another 10 years, so she should have plenty of music for you to enjoy. In the news, Anaheim Ducks win the first Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Holy
shit.
I
think they were an expansion NHL team in, I want to say, like the late 90s.
Mid-90s. I only know that because I got suspended for wearing a Mighty Ducks hat
but it was
into
like
the classroom.
Yeah, like people joked about the team name because, like, they are named after a movie that is so dumb.
Yeah.
And
they're named a movie about Pee Wee hockey players.
And they weren't taken seriously as a team for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then it took them like a bit over a decade, but they finally became a championship team.
I mean, after Disney sold them and they got rid of, because the logo was so Disney-esque originally. Yeah. That's why I bought the hat.
I mean, at this point, yeah, they had moved and also changed the name of the team somewhat. Mm-hmm.
Did they move? I thought they were always at the Pond of Anaheim.
It's the name that they changed because it was originally the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, then the Anaheim Ducks, and I think California Ducks at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Holy shit. Isaiah Washington on the 6th of June is dropped from the cast of Grey's Anatomy over an anti-gay slur.
Yep.
Man.
I can't believe that's 10 years. I feel so old. Because that show is still on.
Mm. Oh my God, it is still on.
Yeah.
Is he killed in the show?
I don't know.
Because he could maybe come back after like a decade-long apology tour.
Yeah. Yeah. No. He called his co-star the F word, not that one, the other one. Mm-hmm. And I think that he walked off or something, or he complained, and then it became this big tabloid thing, and then he apologized, but they were like, no, not cool.
Yeah, you're not coming back. And I don't know. Isn't that how Chevy Chase got kicked off Community? We all thought it was because he quit, and like, no, he said the N word in front of everybody, and that's never cool. Yeah. Goodbye, Chevy. But in lighter news, and I love that, I'm guessing Diana's doing this.
I guess Isaiah was played off of the show somehow.
Isaiah was played off of the show with a little jam. Holy shit. Holy shit. Keyboard Cat is 10 years old.
Yeah.
First uploaded 10 years ago.
Yep.
I saw it finally licensed for a commercial this year.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, he's licensed it a bunch, which is weird because that cat is dead. That cat was dead when it was uploaded. This was old video of Fatso the Cat.
God damn it, that was so fucking funny.
That cat is not having fun.
What about his self-satisfied face when it's over? Look at it, it's great.
He doesn't care.
But ended up
cats love it when you take their paws and move them around all the time.
Yeah.
But, that's not the only notable animal.
Yeah,
but if
you're new to the show, we've just started wading into this because of the nature of a platform like YouTube basically is responsible for video-based memes.
Yep.
Yeah. We've had Rickrolling, I Like Turtles, and Chocolate Rain.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now we're into Keyboard Cat.
And
one more.
Same day, I believe.
Same day.
Uploaded to YouTube.
Dramatic Chipmunk, one of my favorite things in the fucking universe.
He's not a chipmunk, though. He's
it's a prairie dog on a Japanese show. That, God damn it, it's so great.
But between the two of these are like the best. I mean, it's amazing that there's like, within a day of each other, because these are both great things you just throw at the end of something else.
Yes, or like leave it in a forum post when you're shocked about something because we lack emoticons. They're still locked behind the iPhone's Japanese interface. And just Keyboard Cat ended up making a bunch of other, what we used to call kids, fail videos.
Mm-hmm.
It gave them new relevance by showing a guy falling off a treadmill and then playing Keyboard Cat. I remember when the joke was officially dead, Andy Samberg announced at the MTV Movie Awards that you'll be played off stage with Keyboard Cat. And the audience is like,
Only funny like once.
Yeah.
I love all the different versions of it. Sombrero Cat might be my favorite.
I have not dove that deep into it.
Yeah, there's plenty of other people just taking their cats, putting a shirt on it, and making it do something stupid. Sombrero Cat, because of how quickly it falls apart. He's trying to play
cats love hats.
He's trying to play the Mexican hat dance, and just it all goes wrong so fast. It's just a nice, simple, like 20 seconds of humor.
Yeah, brace yourself, people. Assuming we're still doing the show in the future, this is like the era of memes. It might be the full focus of this section, given how much the movies suck.
Yeah.
But speaking of movies, I'm going to need you for this one, Diana.
Yep.
Because you clearly added this.
In a world where crime is a way of life, in a city that never sleeps, just call her name. Star Booty.
What the fuck is Star Booty, Diana?
It's exactly what it says it is. It's about... it's like a Cleopatra Jones, like a blaxploitation thing, but it stars RuPaul.
Where do you find Star Booty?
Around.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen the whole thing.
Oh,
I've seen
Booty.
Huge chunks of it, though. I mean, obviously, it played a gay... skate clubs a lot, stuff like it didn't exactly get a release.
Oh, I mean, it looks super low rent.
It's wicked low rent.
But it looks like a Tonight Show sketch.
Yeah, written by and starring RuPaul.
Wow.
Yep.
Credited as RuPaul?
Yeah.
Star Booty.
RuPaul is his real first name. He's RuPaul Charles.
Oh. Secret Agent Star Booty goes undercover as a hooker when her longstanding arch rival, Annika Manners, kidnaps her niece in this outrageously kitschy comedy featuring plenty of wacky characters, insane costumes, and kinky fun.
Ah, I love kinky fun.
Because you're a huge RuPaul fan, I know you're constantly recommending Drag Race.
Drag Race is amazing. The
best. And I'm hearing other people finally come around to that, too. The best reality show of all.
Oh, yeah.
Drag Race.
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, my favorite line, though, from this trailer is something is like, she's as hot as a crack pipe on payday. I'm using that.
God damn, that's
good. I'm stealing that.
That is so good.
Meanwhile.
In more depressing movie news, Hostel Part 2. Mm. Was this the girl's turn or the boy's turn? Who went first? I saw the first Hostel.
I don't know. I couldn't find a trailer for this. Every trailer for it's in a foreign language.
Really? But Hostel.
Or they just have screaming.
I think the second one is women. The first one was men.
Okay.
But yes, just a... I don't know. Sort of coined the term torture porn.
Yeah.
But it's... The original Hostel was very well done. It's just like one of those things like, I'll never watch this again. This is too uncomfortable. How can you love this film? Even though I want to love Eli Roth. But even better than that, wow, is this smack dab in the middle of the Penguins craze?
Yeah.
Brought upon by March of the Penguins?
Yeah.
This summer.
You know what surfing is about here, but not here.
This is going to be fun, huh?
I can feel it in my nuggets.
It will take more than skill.
Sweet, man.
It will take more than strength.
I'm gonna chum the water with your head.
Bring it on, Peckerface.
Hey, people, smell on your breath.
Keep your girlfriend out of this. Wow, that feels good. Hey, why don't you work on my glutes a little bit?
To find out what it really means.
Stop fighting it, Cody. Just let go.
Welcome down.
To be a winner.
Everyone's like, Cody's this, Cody's that. Cody.
All right. I love the Dookie that much that I would tolerate that trailer.
Nothing says 2007 like an animated movie starring John Hader from Napoleon Dynamite.
Is that who the star is?
I think
the main guy is Shia LaBeouf. Yeah.
Okay. John Hader's in there, though.
All right. So Surf's Up.
The penguin movie about surfing penguins?
Yeah.
Not the movie about dancing penguins?
Nope.
Not about the pebble and the penguin?
Nope.
And not the penguin, the chip rescue, and the chipmunk adventure?
Nope. And not the ninja spy penguins?
Ninja spy... Penguins of Madagascar. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Penguins, what the fuck?
They're funny.
They're funny, they're cute. They really are. But this is probably the most forgotten one.
Yeah.
Outside of the fact that, is there still a sequel coming out for Surf's Up, David?
Yes, actually came out earlier this year. So a decade later, we got Surf's Up 2 Wave Mania.
Oh, God.
Starring John Cena, The Undertaker, Triple H, Vince McMahon.
What?
And, John Hader came back.
Yeah,
so.
Did you not? It's just
what
this,
the crap?
The WWE has its own movie studio imprint, and their attitude is... Any IP is better than new IP.
Mm-hmm.
So they've made sequels to Jingle All the Way.
Oh my God.
They have new Flintstones and Scooby-Doo comedies. And for Surf's Up, really? Like, just make something new. No one remembers Surf's Up. The only thing I remember about it is our buddy Paul Ryan reviewed the game.
Oh.
And he's like, 7. Like, there's no way this game is adequate. This does not happen. CG comedies getting good games like... Sorry, it's good. Just deal with it. I'm like, do you want to play it? No. So we all made fun of him constantly. He's like, just play it. It's good. It's a good game. Surf's Up has a good game, allegedly. Happy Feet does not.
Aww.
Does not have a good game.
Happy Feet.
Other movies this week. I'm sort of embarrassed I didn't see this. So I feel like it would be right up my alley, but I didn't love Ocean's 11 as much as everybody else for some reason.
Okay.
Am I wrong on that?
I never watched it. It doesn't seem to appeal to me. Like, is this just like the modern day kind of Rat Pack movie where it's like, hey, I'm just doing a movie with my buddies and we're going to have drinks and do scenes occasionally.
That's
Ocean's 12.
Oh, okay.
That is 100% Ocean's 12, which is odd because it's like the original Ocean's 11 with Frank Sinatra and all that. Also feels like a movie that's like they're just fucking around, you know, in front of cameras and getting paid to just hang out with their buddies.
And I remember trying to rewatch the original Ocean's 11, and it's fucking boring, dude.
I think they
were going, when I watched Ocean's 11 again, like, well, this is kind of charming just to see all these people in the same place. It has an old-timey Hollywood feel.
Yes.
But it ended up expanding into a trilogy. I think, adapting two completely different books into the Ocean's Eleven trilogy.
The only
if they're even adapted from books, I'd be shocked.
They are. At least the second one is. It's like, or maybe it was a completely different screenplay, but just with these characters thrown in. I forget exactly how that works, but Ocean's 13.
That makes sense. Now, 11 is definitely I really like. Mm-hmm. 13, I kind of I tolerate, and 12, I hate.
Which one is Ellen Barkin?
13.
Okay, I love her.
I love
Matt Damon has to seduce her, and she's good. I love it.
You know, I mean, the first one, Ocean's 11, they find something for everyone to do.
Mm-hmm.
12, part of the problem is they can't come up with anything for some of them to do. So Bernie Mac literally sits out the movie in jail.
Why you gotta put Bernie Mac in jail?
That's bullshit. Like,
should be a heist and
give
shit.
Give him something to do.
Motherfucking kick your head.
Yeah, and at 13, they do better at just going back to the basic heist stuff. And yep, they're up against Ellen Barkin and Al Pacino chewing up some scenery. It's adequate.
Is it? Let me hear a little bit of
this trailer. There's really no reason to watch it, honestly, in general. There's so many better movies like this.
This town might have changed, but not me. I know people. Highly invested in my survival. And they are people who really know how to hurt. In ways you can't even imagine.
Well, I know all the guys that you'd hire to come after me. They like me better than you.
Don't cross Danny Ocean. I almost feel like Steven Soderbergh is maintaining his retirement. Magic Mike being his last... Mm-hmm. No, Behind the Candelabra is his last film.
Maybe.
But I feel like for Steven Soderbergh, Ocean's 11 is his Star Wars. I made this as a lark with my friends. I did not expect to be saddled to a franchise for my entire life.
Yeah, it did not need to be franchised, but that's the way Hollywood works now. If it did, if it worked once, it can work over and over and over again.
And
this one just it gets, you know, too wacky and too goofy, and that's part
Matt Damon in a fake nose. I feel like I have some recollection of that.
There's just it's too much wackiness. It's a little too wacky. It's a little too smarmy.
And I mean, it
the
seems
first
like
one
going,
is just the right level of smarmy.
It seems like wasn't there reports they're going forward with an all female version of Ocean's 11?
Yeah.
And I don't know, that could be exciting. I mean, what's if you have a decent story behind it, getting 12 charismatic people to be highly recognizable charismatic people to be in a film? How can you lose on that? Well, Ocean's 12, I guess.
Yeah. Do they add one for every sequel?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know if they canonically add a person to it.
No, they do.
They do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
I think it wasn't Julie Roberts. Was she 12?
She came on to help at the end of the first heist, but she was sort of she was in bed with the adversary Andy Garcia, who also ends up coming aboard.
So this is a lot like the Fast and Furious series, where if you're
like
the bad guy,
of Caribbean.
Yeah, if you're the bad guy in one movie,
one
of the
they like you enough.
Exactly.
You can go face, even if you murdered our friend. Yeah. Looking at you, Fast 8. Jesus Christ!
I haven't watched more than a minute of any Ocean's movie, but my favorite thing about that series is the South Park episode that'll be in 2008. It's about the election the election is just a cover for a jewel heist that John McCain and Barack Obama are doing together.
Did not see that one.
Oh,
it's really good.
It's a good time as any to segue into TV, David.
Yes.
Oh.
Speaking of funny stuff, Tyler Perry's House of Pain debuts on TBS. So it actually had, it's not even like counted amongst the seasons of the show, but before it came to TBS, they did 10 episodes that were aired in syndication. And then TBS picked it up, and the show made its debut on that channel this week. It debuted with the highest sitcom cable ratings ever. So, you know, it's a bit of a narrow thing, but still, like...
I think it was
pretty good.
Yeah, but also, like, what are most notable cable comedies before House of Pain?
If you actually look at TV, and again, I haven't had cable in years. I just recently got something called Sling. That's not a paid plug. But it helped define what TBS was.
Yeah.
I remember my roommate, I first moved in here with in 07, brought home magnets for TBS finally marketing itself as a comedy channel, which it wasn't before. It was where Ted Turner played baseball games and bought syndicated reruns of The Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island.
Yep.
It didn't have a definition. It played just old shit. This created... I'd say TBS resurecting the sitcom and making it weirdly relevant again. And then I think House of Pain has a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we did a Laser Time How Out of Touch Are You episode to see how little... Who knows the least about Tyler Perry's stuff?
I mean, this is the beginning of like a decade of rising prominence all the way up to the Academy Award nominated movie Boo, A Madea Halloween.
Boo, yeah. A Madea Halloween.
Yes!
I love those movies.
If I can laugh and pray in the same 90 minutes, that's time well spent.
And I can think of at least three. There are some three great TBS comedies on right now, if you're curious. Angie Tribeca.
Oh, yeah.
If you have not seen it, it is just Airplane, the cop show. Yeah. It's fucking great.
But you didn't. I every time I, like, my girlfriend watches it a lot, then I'm like, it's one of those shows where, like, I'll be working on my computer and then it slowly stop working and watch the show. Mm-hmm. And I always think this premise would not work for more than one episode, but it keeps working.
It keeps working. I think partially because the fourth lead is just a dog.
Yeah.
It's a dog who's in every other scene. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I did include a promo for the show if you wanted to hear some of it.
June 4th on TBS.
It almost smells delicious in here.
What do you mean almost?
You might need a little more sugar. That's all I'm saying.
You had enough cinnamon?
Heaven!
The family that eats together keeps together.
A family that criticizes my pie gets a black eye.
Don't miss four brand new episodes.
What? From now on, no more fat or sugar.
You gonna leave me?
Get together and watch Tyler Perry's House of Pain. Wednesday, June 4th, starting at 9 on TBS.
I got your sugar!
But you, like, just watching it, it's it is a bit low budget.
Yeah.
And it's something like, because you could tell it was one of TBS's first, like, original efforts.
I think I would say House of Pain probably helped TBS define who it is.
Very funny.
Very funny.
Also, this week, over on the networks, we had Fast Cars and Superstars, the Gillette Young Gun Celebrity Race.
What the fuck?
Which was basically a series of NASCAR-like races featuring celebrities.
Who are the Gillette Young Guns?
The Gillette Young Guns are the drivers who help the celebrities. Because some of the celebrities are not young. you want to play the trail.
Yes,
you'll be able
to
see who the celebrities are, and then I'll read them off.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
For the first time ever, 12 celebrity superstars from the worlds of sports and entertainment putting their lives on the line to find out just who is the fastest.
What are you going to do when you have to explain that you got beat by a folk singer?
Hey, that kind of girl, you don't mind getting beaten by.
Oh, my God. Who will win in a race, Serena Williams, William Shatner, or John Cena?
Yeah. So the full list is Krista Allen, Bill Cowher, Tony Hawk, Laird Hamilton, Jewel, Ty Murray, Gabrielle Reese, John Sally, William Shatner, Serena Williams, John Cena, and the eventual winner, John Elway.
John Elway.
Yes.
Greatest racist
ever. He just put the car in his hand.
The Gillette Young Guns?
Let's press play. They'll describe the Gillette Young Guns.
From the brightest stars in racing today, the Gillette Young Guns.
First time in a race car?
These rookies.
So I just assumed, is this like some 1940s Hooray for Everything band?
I mean, yeah. the Gillette Young Guns.
The Gillette Young Guns.
I thought ads in internalized into shows was bad nowadays, but like 10 years ago, we had a show that the product was right in the name.
Lux Soap Theater.
So I'm guessing that they're all racers sponsored by Gillette team.
The fastest razor blade alive, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't understand this at all.
That's a good point. When I think about a bunch of razor blades right next to my face, I think fucking speed.
Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog that shit. Run riffshod and a blur all over my face. Yeah.
I'm going to shave so fast my knees disappear.
But that is it for TV this week. For games, this is a personal game for me that I really like. Planet Puzzle League.
Yeah.
A game that was very well reviewed, I think published by Nintendo. Mm-hmm. By the time I got a DS, it was impossible. It was the first DS game I remember being impossible to find.
Yeah. Then,
but it turned into this weird quixotic quest, and by the time I finally got it, it wasn't worth the trouble. And I hate the game for that.
One of those games where you hold it different orientation,
Medios.
But also, I think Planet Puzzle League, you'll probably recognize it as like one of the other names it's had before.
Yeah.
Like Tetris Attack, Panel to Pond. So it's been a couple of different things besides just Planet Puzzle League. And this week was Call of Juarez on Xbox 360.
Really fun.
Yeah, I will always play a Western video game. Not Western as in America. I mean, as in like the old West.
Yeah.
It's...
I'll play Barbie's Dream Car any day. It's made here in America.
Anytime, like, it doesn't seem to happen nearly enough. Like, maybe once a year or, like, every other year is there, like, a big-budget Western video game.
It's Ubisoft, right?
This is Ubisoft, And Call of Juarez, they did a couple of them. There's one that sucked, but this isn't it.
It's the I think they when they brought it to the modern day. But yeah. what I remember being cool about this is that it's a Western game. You play as a gunslinger with like a kick-ass whip. Like,
yeah.
In first person.
Whipmaster.
in a great setting, but you also play as a preacher bounty hunter hunting this person. So you play as both characters, one of which is hunting the other. And the preacher has literal fucking... What do you call him? Preach it? That's his power, is to read from a Bible.
Oh, wow.
And has magical God Jesus powers.
Oh, my God.
Really ambitious. I feel like kind of underlooked. Mm. I just remember I picked it up cheap because it was discounted pretty quickly. Because maybe Ubisoft should not overestimate how much people want to play a Western game. Just kidding. Yeah. But yeah, I really like that game. If you can find the original Call of Juarez, it's well worth it. Yeah, that does it for games and does it for us.
Yeah.
We like to read off comments on our site, lasertimepodcast.com. You can find just 302010 isolated by itself on 302010.net. But we have comments here. And again, we're trying to shorten the show. So we've moved we're going to do a bunch of comment wrap ups every other week over on patreon.com/lasertime, the site that keeps us alive for the low cost of $5. You can you get an extra show out of us. Because, in case you didn't know, we're charged by by how many people download and listen, how long a show is. Yeah. And I love this. What I love most about the show, anybody can do this show.
Yeah.
It's how your memories and your perspective colors things. And that's why it's astonishing to read people's comments and tell us where they were and how these things ended up defining their existence. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Whenever I hit someone who's like, and I was born in 1997, I think, fuck you, son. Young man. Sit down.
But Endless Mike D, with a great combination Pete and Beastie Boys name. I want to extend my sincere thanks to Dave for giving time to the Lost season finale.
By the way, I choose these comments, so that's why this is in here.
It's not my favorite show of all time, or even in my top five, but the cynicism shown by Chris to the show is just sort of ridiculous coming from a guy who likes the shit that Chris likes. Lost obviously isn't Shakespeare. It was a sci-fi show for your mom, your grandma, and everyone in between the network. It is second to none in terms of characters and the little dozens that people care about, and the twists and turns were about as captivating as any twists and turns in movies or TV. Is it perfect? No. Does the movie Independence Day really hold up to the actual scrutiny? No, but it's awesome anyway. In regards to them introducing stuff and never explaining it, I'd argue they explain damn near everything that's remotely important to the story, to the point where I wish they hadn't, because some of the answers are just not going to be as cool as you'd hope. I mean, they even go as far as to explain the motivations of the smoke monster. It's a smoke monster. It's seriously enough to satisfy me in a show like this, but I'd argue they went out of their way to explain things to people, and that hurt the show more than it helped. But I digress. It's a great show, and for the most part, wrapped itself up in a halfway decent bow by the end. Thank you, Dave, for the inclusion. P.S. I am not a crackpot.
Thank you, Mike D.
With some distance between me and it was a fun show as a cultural phenomenon. I'm glad I was on board and a part of it. I'm glad I was there. But I don't think they knew where they were going with the show. I think they meandered a ton. I think they didn't respect the audience's time or intelligence very well. But I hate the show less and less as we move forward, because now every show is built like Lost, and it's way more insulting. and Lost still has beautiful moments. There's more beautiful moments than it has seriously bad ones.
I don't think it disrespects people's time, because it does you know, give you these big arcs for these characters, and
you know what people love?
Dude,
prequels.
Plane.
Prequels. And that's all the show became, because they were spinning their wheel.
Yeah,
look,
that's
I'm not
for the
sure
first
Lost.
That's when the show was losing its way, is when they were explaining background elements that didn't matter. But when, you know, by this point they were, you know, doing weird things with the timeline and showing you things that are happening later on and making that the bit of the mystery, which is like the fact that they were able to completely change their formula at the end of season 3 was it really did give the show like a good boost
it brought me back in a big way, and I never missed an episode. I didn't. Right. I saw every episode with friends having Lost parties. I would never trade that for anything, no matter how good the show was or wasn't. So shut up, Endless Mike.
Calm down.
Yeah, calm down.
You're both pretty.
All right, that is it for 302010. We close out always with a birthday quiz. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, let's get out some plugs. 302010 is brought to you by the Laser Time Network, and you can find out more at lasertimepodcast.com. We have a weekly pop culture show every Monday based around a certain topic. We recently did a show that I was really proud of called just about strikes that impacted pop culture. So, yes, we get a lot of criticism for leftist politics, and by that I mean two Trump jokes here and there.
Oh, and it could have been worse because I wasn't on there, and I actually have been in a union.
Yeah. Oh, see.
Oh, and I loved it.
I thought it was a light way to look at what demonstrating has given us, what it's taken away, and how, and mainly how it impacted content and entertainment. Like I thought that was really interesting. A look at strikes from comic books, wrestling, writers, animators. Really neat, and I think you should check that out. But we also have Talking Simpsons, by the way. Talking Simpsons. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to extend a comment section for our patrons at patreon.com/lasertime. It's how we live. It's how we support ourselves. We do not make, well, any money off of ad revenue in the show. The longer it goes, the more we lose. The more money we lose. The more people who listen to it, the more money we lose. So we encourage you to go to patreon.com/lasertime and maybe give us a buck or two a month. For $5, you'll get a weekly show, bonus time, which is all of us and some friends just shooting some shit about some newer stuff that we're into. I think recently we had a fun show about, we asked our audience what their favorite SNL sketch of all time was. Ooh. And that's a really tough question. People came to the table and we played clips of the best sketches. So we try and put on a nice show for people behind the paywall, but it does help us a lot. There's over 100 movie commentaries. You can watch the Darkwing Duck pilot with us. I'm out of plugs.
And patreon.com/lasertime is also the home of Cheap Podcast, the pro wrestling podcast. If you liked our brief chatter about Surf's Up 2 Wave Mania, we'll have a new episode up around the time of this with Henry Gilbert. Mm. So that'll be fun.
Yes. And Diana, what other show do we have?
We have Vigigame Apocalypse, which is just a Vigigame talk. And I know there's all kinds of stuff just coming out. It's a big deal. So you can hear all about it there. And if you want to talk classic movies, etc., I am on Twitter at Listen a Nerd. Mm-hmm. That's Listen a Nerd. Not Listen a Nerd. A couple people have said that they thought I said Listen a Nerd. No, LECINENERD.
I am the French John Cena. You cannot see me?
No.
Lessina?
I'm not Listen a Nerd.
Lessina?
That's a different guy.
Rapadou?
But as always, we close out 302010 with some deaths and birthdays. Let's go start with a death, and we'll go into rebirth after that. Will Sampson?
Yep.
Will Sampson is dead at what age?
Like 56.
56.
In 1987.
And who is... He's a chief.
Yeah.
Okay. From One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming at least one more film.
Yeah, he did other films, but that's the one you immediately picture him.
Yes.
Yep.
But as always, the birthday quiz now helmed by Diana, where Dave and I face off.
Oh, birthday is a doodly-doo.
What do we got, D?
All right, we got two stars, one male and one female. Let's start with born June 4th, 1975. She is an Oscar winner and a recipient of the Oscars Humanitarian Award. I found out she struggled with substance abuse and mental illness in her teens and 20s and once tried to hire a hitman to kill her. Fortunately... No, I guess so. Fortunately, she got her life back together and starred in movies like Pushing Tin, Alexander.
Angelina Jolie!
Correct!
Yeah! Switches on the board. Let's move in over to the males. The males are where I'm a Viking.
All right. Born June 7th, 1952. He actually spent most of the 80s as a Hey, It's That Guy, but for his breakout role in 1993. For that, he appeared in Excalibur, Krull, The Bounty, The Mission, Satisfaction, Next of Kin, Dark Man. Since then, he's become an action star and a go-to guy for mentor figures who probably are going to get killed, like in Gangs of New York, Batman Begins, and Phantom Menace. Come on, Dark Man! Thank you!
Yes! Oh, God.
I thought you could all get it at Dark Man.
I was trying to think of who the villain was in Dark Man for some reason.
No, it's not Larry Drake, the guy from L.A. Law.
Dr. Giggles.
I wouldn't do that to you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Keyboard Taking us out, of course, is Keyboard Cat. Play us out, Keyboard Cat.